Voila!
Hey, Smetters.
What are you laughing at?
You're a weirdo.
Okay. You're a weirdo. All I'm worried about is Putin.
Okay.
Have y'all seen the latest episode of South Park?
Because we just watched it.
It is hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Mikey cracks me up.
Okay.
Okay. Drugs are bad.
Okay.
Okay. So, in honor of, is Mardi Gras still going on right now or is it over?
I don't know.
It was this week. It was going on this week. So, in honor of Mardi Gras, we are going back to New Orleans.
And we're currently recording topless.
Yes. Troy's got tons of beads right now, y'all. But we're going back to New Orleans and we're going to do the Vampires of New Orleans. I wish we had theme music where like we could say that and then it was like do 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 do. You know?
Sure.
That'd be so cool.
You know what else would be cool?
What?
Nothing. Never mind.
Okay. I thought of something this
Actually,
week. No. I thought of something this week. And y'all, I really think it's a good idea. Y'all know when we're doing the podcast and y'all are listening to episodes and I tell Troy to stop showing me stuff? What if on the Instagram page I start posting what he shows me in the middle of episodes so y'all can see what we're talking about?
I think you would be Instagram banned.
Speaking of, let me tell you.
Tell me.
I posted some funny shit, okay?
About all that.
It was funny. And y'all, somebody reported Supernatural Smut on Instagram for bullying. And it wasn't even bullying. It was a horoscope thing. And it was like a funny horoscope. And people were getting a kick out of it. Like they loved it. And I guess somebody didn't love it. And they told on our asses. I got an official note from Instagram. Kind of got scared for a minute. And then after you told me that somebody reported me, it just made me mad.
Yeah, it's stupid. People are a bunch of pansies.
Like, I have seen stuff 10 times worse on Instagram, but
it was probably a rival nightclub.
Nightclub? What?
Nothing.
What are you talking about?
The Office, when they go to Florida and Stanley pulls up in a car to pick Jim up. And he's like, you look like you just came back from burning down a rival nightclub. You don't remember that?
No.
God, get with it.
What? My what?
Shut up.
Okay, y'all. What we're going to do tonight is...
Actually.
No. Refrain from using that word. That word is retired. What we're going to do is tonight we're going to go over some of the New Orleans vampire attacks in the first part. And then we're going to go on to a second part, and it's going to be like the original New Orleans vampire.
You can't say original like that slowly. You're making me think of the originals.
Well, do you know what his name was?
Klaus Michelson.
Niklaus Michelson. Psych, it was not that. But it's very cool, and there's a lot to go over, but it's just going to be his story in the second part. But we are going to have a bunch of random stories in the first part that are super fun. I told Troy he was probably going to find a lot of holes in the story because, y'all, a lot of this stuff is not documented. It's just stories. And I was speaking to a friend of mine from New Orleans, and I was like, I know y'all know some stuff there. And she's like, oh, yeah, we know some stuff going around New Orleans. We just don't talk about it. So it's kind of like Fight Club. They just don't talk about it, but they all know, right?
Sure.
Yes. And if you are from Louisiana, I would like a really good gumbo recipe. I really want to make some gumbo, and I need a really good recipe.
You know you can just look that shit up online, right?
It's different when people from that state send it to you.
Why don't you just get it from the internet from somebody from there?
Look.
Nobody wants to send you shit. Just
I know Google is free, but I would really like to get somebody's grandmama's recipe. Their meemaw's recipe.
They probably cook it with possum or something.
Throw some possum in that shit. It's wonderful. Okay. So.
You got a lisp?
No. Looks like you're playing Angry Birds again. That's good.
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry it bothers you so much.
It does bother me.
Well, you suck at it.
Anyway. So, we're going to go over this real quick. Let's dive on in. And before we get started, I did want to go over a couple things. New Orleans, they do, as I said, they have a lot of vampire history. Now, I got to searching around, and they actually have the... Oh, shit. I did it, didn't I? Sorry, y'all. It's retired now.
Actually, it's not.
They have the New Orleans Vampire Association. It is called NOVA. And I got
that to... That was in the originals, too.
NOVA?
Well, the vampire thing.
The Vampire Association? Well, this is really cool. It was founded in 2005, and it was established to provide support and structure for the vampire and other kin subcultures, and to provide educational and charitable outreach to those in need. So what they do is they do a lot of outreach programs, and they do a lot of charities. They do breakfast for the homeless. They do a lot of good deeds in Louisiana, and I think they are absolutely wonderful.
Plus, they do the deed a lot.
Wow. You're so dirty.
Yep.
Okay. Their phrase is Novus Ordo Vampire Ascendere, which means the new order of vampire has arisen. So, but they do a lot of great things. And
then one thing they've done.
Well, they do outreach programs, like I just said, and they do lunches and breakfasts and stuff for the homeless of New Orleans. And I just think that is very cool that they put themselves out there in their community. And
is it Bloodfield?
No, because
you know, the only reason they do that for the homeless people is because
not finish that sentence, because they are going to come after us. And I really think this is a good group, because these vampires, these are the ones that get consent, and they
get consent before they neck.
No, it's not like that. I actually watched something about some of the vampires like this, they're not the vampires that you would see on like vampire movies.
So they eat rabbits and deer and shit.
No, this is not Vampire Diaries.
This is about real vampires.
I mean, this is their lifestyle. This is their thing. And what they do is they drink a little bit of blood. And they do their own thing, but everybody consents. It's very safe, and
consent is important.
It is important. That's a fact. You have to have consent. And as I said, they're very careful, and it is their lifestyle, and they are happy with it. They don't hurt anybody, and if that's what they want to do, let them do that. I mean, I think it's wonderful, and helping out their community, guys. Y'all are getting it. I respect NOVA. Y'all are wonderful people. So, I just want to get that out. Also, New Orleans has the yearly Vampire Ball. And
I did want to go to that. Wasn't there something that we looked up and you mentioned on air one time before about... what is it? It's some sort of vampire ball.
The Anne Ross Vampire.
Yes.
And see, since she has passed, I don't know if they still... I would think they would still do it, because I know her son has taken over a lot of the projects that they were working on together. So maybe they do the vampire...
I want to do that so bad.
Oh, I do too. The masquerade ball. Yes. That would be so cool. But
if... Not like an Eyes Wide Shut type masquerade, but...
Definitely not that. But again, they do have consent for that too. So let them be them. If I can pull this up... I know they have it at the House of Blues, and it is on October 29th, and they are going to have it this year from what I saw. And they have it in fairly big cities. This is not pulling up for me.
But yeah, that would be like super cool. Oh, I want to go to New Orleans anyways, though.
Yeah, for sure. It's called the Endless Night Vampire Ball. So you can still get your tickets. I know they range from $150 to $350 to go, and you have to be in full vampire costume. It's very cool, y'all. Look at the pictures. There, I mean, people get into it. They love it. And they so much stuff to do there. They do all different kinds of stuff. But look it up. I follow them on Instagram just because I like to see the pictures and stuff. And it's very cool just looking at the pictures.
I think it would be a step above what we did on the Vampire Diaries tour, where the hamburgers, they put the little vampire bites in the burgers. That was so cool. That was
my favorite thing. Y'all, when we did the Vampire Diaries tour, we went to this cafe, and it was where apparently the cast used to eat after filming, not recording. And they would give you these hamburgers, and they poked two holes in it and had ketchup running out like it was blood. And it was the cutest thing.
Yeah, I really liked that.
All right, so we're going to jump into some of the vampire attacks and see what you guys think. This is going to be a fun episode. Troy's going to poke holes in all my stories. And let us know what you think, because I think it'll be a lot of fun. So, let's start.
Let's
dive on in. The French Quarter has been haven to many vampires throughout history. A perfect setting, as the area has always had a high rate of murder and missing persons. The living are drawn to the area by its mystery and charm, eager to experience an encounter with the undead. Few are lucky enough to return with their experiences. Most have vanished without a trace, leaving only a trail of whispered accounts amongst the locals. One example of such a case happened in 1984, though once again, little documentation can be found. Not surprising, as many paranormal incidents are hidden from plain sight by New Orleans officials. The locals are very well aware of this incident. 9 people were found in and about the French Quarter area, all having their throats ripped out. Paramedics and other first responders were dumbfounded as though the scenes were gory, but there was no blood left to be mentioned.
But completely drained?
Completely drained. The case resembled an earlier occurrence where in 1933, 2 known sex workers met the same demise. A witness that lived above the scene said that he heard screams. As he ran to his balcony, he saw a tall, dark figure leaning over the victim. The dark figure was reported to have leapt over a 12-foot wall at the end of the alley and disappeared with no trace. The violence of both attacks would have left signs of a struggle, and the bodies should have bled out, but they did not. In fact, the bodies in both cases were drained completely. The cases remain unsolved to this day, but the locals know the truth. In the mid-80s, you're fine. In the mid-80s, a rogue vampire, and y'all are going to love this, moved into the area, making his home on Royal Street, near to where Saint Germain called his home in the 1900s. And y'all, the second part of this episode is over Saint Germain, so y'all just hang out about that. This rogue vampire had caused so much turmoil in his brief stint in the city that New Orleans officials had begun to pressure the known vampire elders in the community who did not appreciate the invasion of their privacy. Forced by the attention and suspicion that was cast upon them, the elders gathered and met in reference to the rogue vampire. All agreed that he had to be eliminated. And so it was. The rash of vampire attacks ended as quickly as they began. Now everyone knows it is against nature for vampire to kill vampire. However, in this instance, the greater good prevailed. It is said that the slain troublemaker was ripped apart by the elders during an ancient ritual, which no living man has ever witnessed. After the ceremony, the remains of the vampire were placed in a crypt at a nearby cemetery. It is said by the locals that his screams and moans can be heard through the thick marble walls of the vault to this day.
Dang.
That, I guess, because he didn't die. They just ripped him apart, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
They didn't stake him?
I guess.
That's what I would think. Okay.
But, you know, we don't know for sure what's real when it comes to the Lord. I mean, you have to be staked, head removed.
That's true. All that stuff. So. That is very true. So, this is some more little incidences. So amongst all the vampire tales you will hear, one of the more famous ones is the story of the notorious Carter brothers. Have you heard of the Carter brothers?
No.
No, well, you're about to. In the 1930s, John and Wayne Carter worked as longshoremen on the Mississippi River. I guess that would make them seamen, right?
Wow. Well, no, actually not, because the Mississippi's not the sea.
I just wanted to say seamen.
I'm sure you did.
Okay. Pervert. One evening before the brothers returned home from work.
One evening.
A young girl escaped from their French Quarter apartment and ran to the police. Her wrists were cut, but not severely enough for her to bleed to death. She claimed she had been locked up for weeks and the brothers had been feeding on her blood. The police immediately investigated and found four other young women tied to chairs with their wrists cut. Over a dozen dead bodies turned up in the apartment drained of their blood. Oof. The brothers were arrested, tried, and executed for their crimes, with their remains interred in the family tomb.
Did you say interred?
Interred? Interred? I don't like that. It sounds like I'm saying turd.
I was worried about Putin.
Stop. So they put the remains in the family tomb. Later, when another Carter family member passed away, the tomb was opened to make room for his remains. But there were no remnants, if I could talk.
Rim turds.
Of John or Wayne in the grave to clear. They had disappeared. To this day, there have been reports of sightings of the brothers wandering the French Quarter.
Huh.
Ooh. All right, y'all. So we've gone over this story coming up. And my co-host here really made me mad when we went over it the first time. Okay? So we're going to touch base on my favorite, the Casket Girls.
Good
again.
God.
Well, they're part of it, but we're not going to do a long thing on it. It's just a quick little summary. One of the most talked about stories is the legend of the Casket Girls and the Ursuline Convent. The old Ursuline Convent on Charter Street is the oldest building standing in the Mississippi River Valley. The building no longer functions as a convent. The first floor is a museum. The second floor is a home of the Archdiocesan. Is that how you say it?
Archdiocese.
Okay. Thank you so much. Archives dating back to 1718. But what's on the third floor behind those mysterious shutters that are always tightly secured? Nobody seems to know the answer to that question, but there are speculations. The Ursuline nuns were sent to New Orleans from France in 1725 to establish a hospital and educate the young girls. Most of the early settlers were pirates, scoundrels, murderers,
and scallywags.
Wow. And thieves. Prisoners who had been exiled from France and promised if they reformed in Louisiana, they could return to France. The men outnumbered the women 5-1. So, yeah, sword fighting like crazy. So in 1727, the city's founder, Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne Bienville, sent two nuns back to France to ask the king to send over marriageable young women. In 1728, a group of orphans arrived to marry the colonists and populate the swamp called La Nouvelle Orleans, meaning New Orleans. When the girls arrived,
it called?
New Orleans.
No shit, Sherlock. You say La Vue or Laveau or something like that?
Nouvelle.
Nouvelle. I wonder if that's like the meaning of the other from American Horror Story. What was her name? Laveau?
Marie Laveau.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, screw me then.
I'll just go fuck off now. No, but we do need to do a story on Marie Laveau. She's one of my favorites, y'all. When the girls arrived, they each brought with them one wooden chest shaped like a coffin which held their trousseau consisting of clothes, linens, and sometimes a bridal gown. Since their eccentric luggage looked like caskets, they became known as the Casket Girls. The girls were brought to the Ursuline convent to live among the nuns until they were married. After the arrival of the Fille à la Cassette, nobody could explain why the mortality rate, especially the infant mortality rate, drastically increased. Suspicion mounted when the girls later opened their chests and they were found empty. Fear of what the girls may have smuggled into La Nouvelle Orleans prompted the nuns to contact the Archdiocese. After an investigation, the caskets were transferred by day to the convent attic. The convent attic was sealed off, the doors nailed shut, and the attic shutters sealed with 800 nails, each one blessed by the Pope. Legend has it the caskets were used to smuggle vampires into La Nouvelle Orleans. They remain sealed in the attic to this day, and that is the reason why the attic shutters are always tightly closed. No one can explain why occasionally, late at night, someone will see them suddenly fly open, followed by a mist that surrounds the convent.
Spooky.
In 1978, two curious paranormal investigators set up a video camera in the front of the convent and waited through the night for paranormal activity. Sometime during the night, the camera stopped filming. The next day, they were both found dead on the steps of the St. Mary's Catholic Church next to the convent with their throats torn open and their bodies drained of 80% of their blood. This crime was never solved. And we actually went over that story in the Casket Girls. And after they fell asleep and the camera kept going, you saw the shutters open by themselves. And then it got turned off.
That'd be a cool movie to make.
Such a cool movie, right? Now, y'all, and I believe I did say this in the Casket Girls episode, there is a band called the Casket Girls, and oh my gosh, I would love to be an honorary member of that band just so I can say I'm a Casket Girl. Okay, so now, that is actually going to be it for the short stories of the vampire attacks in New Orleans. And y'all, if y'all have heard of any, let us know, because this fascinates me. And I just think it's so cool to hear about that kind of stuff. New Orleans knows stuff. So send it to us.
That's why I want to go to Barbados so much. It's kind of like a Caribbean New Orleans.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so much stuff going on in New Orleans. And actually, shoot, dadgummit, New Orleans has, there's a few actual vampire stores in the world, and New Orleans has one of the original vampire shops you can go to.
Remember when, of course, I've always loved the idea of vampires.
Yeah.
Remember that the old antique vampire hunting kit that I found on eBay.
Oh my gosh.
That was so freaking
yes,
cool.
Yes, I wanted one so bad. I think they were super expensive though, and I tried to make my own vampire kit to make it look antique, and it just wasn't worth the same, y'all. This vampire kit, y'all go on eBay and look up the old ancient or the antique vampire hunting kit.
I don't know if they have any on eBay anymore. You might just have to Google it.
Yeah.
But make sure you put like old or authentic.
Yes. Those things are so cool, y'all. Okay. So we're I don't know what my deal is with that word. We're going to stop because this in the podcast is the only time I've ever used that word. So really,
I can't believe that.
I do not use that word day to day. It's so weird. We're going to stop here.
How often do you use though?
Oh my God. And if I said a lot in this episode, because I'll go back and listen and I will cringe because I'll hear a word I keep repeating.
It's either or actually.
It really is. I'm sorry, y'all. But yeah, y'all just hang out and we're going to start part two and we're going to go over the longer story of the original New Orleans vampire, and he has a story to tell. So hang out and we will be right back. Oh, fuck Kyle. Do you want to say a court member?
I'm just worried about Putin.
Say your joke.
No.
Just say it.
Nope.
You've said that so many times, so just tell your joke.
Y'all just need to watch the new South Park.